Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front room, they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's a Palazzo Podcast, two L's, two Z's. My name is Michael Gauvier. Hey! To all the people at home, hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. And of course, to our huge, I mean,
there's probably a thousand people in the room.
Thousands. I mean, I'm blown away. Thousands of people here. We got our regular crew, as usual, if you watch the show. Britton Allen over here. There
hello.
He is.
Good.
Two T's,
hello.
Two L's.
Good to see you all.
Making it happen.
Thank you for coming.
Hail to the Chief. We got Sam. You guys know him. And don't miss his fantasy feud tonight. A lot of excitement there. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be
hello,
a good
hello.
Time. And then especially saved it for last because he's finally here. We've done a show here the last 2 years. This is our third show here at First Pitch Arizona. But this is big, gentle Ben. Benjamin Chase. Let's give it up for Ben. Made the trip. You can catch Ben doing our regular Monday night live streams for the Prospects Power Hour. Ben, so glad you're here in Arizona, brother. Take it away.
Well, I figured since you guys haven't had a chance to really meet me, unless you're a regular Palazzo person.
Well, who isn't?
If you're not, well then, you know, change that. You know, do all the things, the like, the subscribe, the, all that sort of stuff. But I am a newspaper editor from South Dakota, which I am told makes me a unicorn in both aspects around here, and somehow find time to do this. I'm also the co-director of the IBWAA, and if any of you are any sort of content creator, that doesn't mean you have to, because we say IBWAA does not mean you have to be a writer. Right. You can be a podcaster. You can, you know, take photographs, you can take videos, whatever you're doing that's creating content around baseball, we want to celebrate those folks. And so I would love to have anyone come and chat with me about that. And we just had voting done. We have not announced any of our awards yet, but we do our own separate awards each year. We do our own separate Hall of Fames. We will not have to worry about Roger Clemens or Barry Bonds being on our contemporary ballot because they were voted in. So wow. They are in our Hall of Fame. Joe Mauer did not make it in the Hall of Fame on his first ballot of the IBWA. So there are some differences, but just glad to be here. This has been a lot of fun so far and looking forward to the rest of the weekend.
Yay! Yeah, so today we have a few things set up. We actually made a show sheet this time for this. We never did it for the live show.
With words on it this time, too, not just pictures.
Right. It's not a Waffle House menu.
Not
right.
anymore, baby. Big time.
I love Waffle House. I mean, not there's anything wrong with that. But we thought we'd kick it off with the AFL players that people actually got to see while they're here that people liked. Now, I didn't go to a single game, so I'm not going to comment on this. I'll just sit here. But others went, such as you.
I did. I flew in on Wednesday, and I flew in early enough where there was a 1:30 game. So I went to that game. I went to a game Thursday. And then yesterday, Ben and I went to Glendale to that game, too. So we got to see a lot of good players. And
the Champagne Coast of Arizona.
There was champagne there. While I like to scout, I also like to eat hot dogs and drink beer, which obviously is a very important part of the process. So Ben and I went to see some players, and the first one that I thought about was my boy Enrique Bradfield Jr., Baltimore Orioles outfielder. I love you, Enrique. Bruno Mars. Umptown Funk. I said funk, right, JP? Okay. Well,
We've grown in the last couple of years, so yes.
Enrique Bradfield from Vanderbilt. Before Vanderbilt was a football powerhouse, they were actually known as a baseball factory.
Little known fact.
It's very little known. Bradfield was in three seasons for the Commodores, stole 130 bases. His first year as a pro, 74 stolen bases in 108 games. He's an Arizona Fall League All-Star. I think he's got Chandler Simpson written all over him. Really? He's going to Uptown Funk. The stolen baseball category this year. So he's one of my favorite players this year. Ben, did you see anybody that you liked?
So, I mean, obviously, if you have seen him out here, Kevin McGonigal is the guy.
Yeah, like we just said, he's might even things. Mention that, right? You like everybody
you
knows.
You don't really need to mention him. But I got to watch him in a home run and make some on the move plays, and just kind of one of those where, okay, you're confirming exactly what I thought you were.
Wait, real quick though, Ben, because I want to give you credit for this. Ben, and this is probably on the record somewhere in our live stream past in our YouTube, Plotso Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's, and Ben was talking about when McGonigal got drafted in the second round, right? Yeah. You were saying that he was like one of your favorite hitters of the whole draft, even then, before he became the guy he was, so... Full credit to Ben on that.
And I will give credit to another Ben Badler, who also was a huge fan of McGonigal in that draft.
Okay.
And so he really turned me on to McGonigal, which got me looking into him. But, yeah, and he's done everything and more than you could ask him to. But the guy I was impressed by yesterday, and no, this is not a homer thing as a Braves fan, which Robbie would give me lots of fun crap about that. But
he would. Hey, Robbie.
Luke Sinard. Took the mound yesterday, and 6'8", 250. And I have a nephew who's about the same size. I wouldn't have been able to tell you that Luke is that size. He is athletic. He looks very compact. And there's a reason why he is having so much success controlling the ball. And this is a guy who really has not had a lot of time on the mound yet. And so I am very eager to see what he will do. He's had a up and down time out here, got touched up for a home run yesterday, but the stuff is that of a major league starter. Maybe not I don't ever see him being a frontline guy, but this is definitely a guy that could work in a rotation as a 3-4 type of a pitcher. And quite frankly, the way things went for the Braves rotation last year, there's probably going to be opportunities near the back of that thing because I'm guessing they're going to be leaning on some of those old guys again, and old guys have this weird habit of breaking down.
Hang on, wait. Leanne, comments on the Braves rotation. Okay.
So this is your guy from the AFL. Do you see him as somebody who is going to be an accumulator, or does he have anything that stands out for you as far as ratios or Ks that you are leaning into with him?
This is a guy who the delivery is athletic enough that I could imagine him being a guy that just tallies up a ton of innings, and that's going to get you those counting stats that you're looking for. Probably more like an average ERA, average whip, but he does have extremely good control. So the whip should stick around a pretty decent number. My brain is not flipping a good comparison right off the top of it right now, but it's going to be something we can watch. He's pitched at A-ball so far, so next year you'll have a chance to see him pitch against upper-level hitters, and that'll be a good – he pounds the zone right now, and if you have any wiggle on the zone – at A-ball,
zone wiggle?
You are going to absolutely befuddle hitters at that level.
Got that wiggle.
So there's a good chance that he runs into a little bit. I mean, for a good Braves example, last year Lucas Braun was dominant in A-ball, got to double A and showed that.
Where's Uncle Ted? Yeah. Are you watching Uncle Ted? Uncle Ted talks on Twitter. Yeah. There you go. You got your shout out.
But Braun got up to the upper minors and kind of ran into a wall that he is just kind of a guy. And I hope, you know, I didn't think of Braun what I think of Senard. I think Senard could be a guy who gets, you know, 170 innings, 150 innings right in that area, and he's a strikeout per inning type of guy.
So if he's available in your dynasty league, you'd want to go pick him up?
As a back end type of a pitcher.
Okay.
In general, in Dynasty, I'm not a fan of rostering pitchers who haven't pitched in the upper minors.
So this is just a name you want to be aware of.
Yep.
Okay.
From Absolutely. The AFL.
From the AFL, clear. Yes.
Yeah. Remember, because the segment was called AFL Players We Saw That We Liked, in case anyone forgot. Also, that rhymes with Menards. Saving money at Menards. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great.
There we go.
Did you have another one written, or was that it?
I did. I had another player I want to talk about from the Detroit Tigers.
Eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
They have some pretty good prospects, as you may or may not know, Kevin McGonigal. They have Max Clark, who is probably going to be a superstar. But what about Max Anderson?
Oh.
Did you know Mr. Anderson,
Anderson
is batting .488 in the Arizona Fall League? Pretty good stuff.
God bless short samples.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, he's hitting it. It's there. He's banging it. He hits fastball. He hits spin. He's been playing third base. In AAA, he bat .296 with 19 home runs. He's just a really good hitter. And, as you know, Detroit may need a third baseman if they don't get Bregman, which I assume they may be in the market for Bregman.
It'd be great if they could get another run at him because he opted out, right?
But it'd be crazy if he didn't go back to Boston. But I heard that he may be out there. So Max Anderson, Mr. Anderson.
Anybody but Zach McKinstry, please.
You mean all-star Zach McKinstry? Maybe I'm selling him short. Maybe he goes back to the bench.
I can't refute that. That's a fact, right?
Roster glue Zach McKinstry this year for your lineups?
Sam's a Mariners guy. I'm a Tigers guy. So we went head-to-head in that ALDS.
Great series.
And the fact that someone was talking about this earlier, we were talking about how the bench wasn't used at all in that game five in the 15-inning game when the Mariners won, which was the most painstaking, disastrous, not disastrous, just painstakingly annoying game to watch.
So delicious.
Like, it wasn't fun. When it ended, we were relieved, and we lost. I'm not kidding. It just went on forever, and it was so much inability to get a hit, and nobody was pinch hit for on the Tigers side. The bench was not used in that game five. So
the good news is you're getting past it. Are you?
Well, if we had Max Anderson on the bench, my point is, if Max Anderson's on that bench, he's getting in.
And as a Mariners fan, I'm so glad that they left everybody on the bench. It was fine with me. The game worked out perfectly.
Yeah, well, everyone's got something everybody's to play about except the Dodgers. So, yeah. anybody else you want to mention, Ben, or was that it?
No, I think Britton did have one more guy that he was really big on.
Now this
Gee
guy,
Willikers.
This guy is way off the radar. Even prospect, our friend right here.
Duke. Yeah, prospect savant right here. This guy's awesome.
Prospect savant. So yesterday we were at Glendale, saw the Desert Dogs, I believe. You got to get that alliteration.
Better than Dugout Dogs from the Naked Gun.
Was Travis Honeyman.
Oh.
Man,
what a name.
Sounds delicious.
6'2" outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was at high A this season, got cut short with injuries, but he's got power, he's got speed. He had a batting average of .287, kind of looks like a five category guy, but he's had some injuries, so he's kind of just getting his career going.
Sure.
So very exciting. And I don't know if y'all knew this, but one of the most important parts of scouting a player is knowing what their walk-up music is, correct? Little known fact, it's 100% accurate. It's extremely important. So
science.
All the metrics back it up. None, but some of them might one day. But so Travis Honeyman for the Cardinals. Now, if you're Travis and your last name is Honeyman, what is a perfect song to walk up to Mariah Carey's Honey?
That's what I was thinking.
Sing it, baby.
I don't know the lyrics to that one.
Oh, really? Was that before your time?
No,
and it's just like Hun. Yeah, I'm singing Mariah Carey.
Everybody.
I don't care.
Woo. Yeah. Woo.
Yes, I actually do this on a podcast.
Oops, you did it again.
I did it again. But that's not what happened.
No,
that's what I thought was going to happen. That's not what happened. That's not what Travis said. No.
It's not going to be stereotyped or pigeonholed.
Yeah. That's not major league grade walk-up music, and he's major league grade. Mm-hmm. He picked, going back to 1988, a song from the greatest rock album American ever made. I'm talking about Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses. And if anyone says it's not the greatest rock album made in the United States, you're wrong. Sorry. Thanks for the discussion. What did he pick? Mr. Brownstone walking
Mr. Brownstone?
Mr. Brownstone.
Talking about heroin addiction?
Heroin addiction. I was totally going to go there.
Dude, the riff is awesome.
I am in position.
The song literally goes, I get up around 7. Hey. He gets up around 9. And so that's like.
It's so awesome.
He gets up early and then he goes back to bed.
Dude, Slash is slapping the guitar on that bad boy. Anyway.
He makes heroin sound so fun.
Oh yeah! Look, hey, look! It's 1988 in California, man. Whatever.
No,
but
yeah.
Anyway, so what happens in that at bat?
Dong.
2-run home run.
That's right.
What was it? Guns N' Roses. Yes. So Travis Honeyman, please put him on your prospect list. He's obviously ready for the major leagues.
I'll never not think of him when I think of Guns N' Roses ever again.
He wasn't obviously even born in 1988.
No.
That shows character.
Make him a late prospect, yeah. He has to be like a transfer.
That shows, yeah. He's got the mental makeup, obviously.
Clearly.
There you go.
Well, thanks, Britton. That was fun. Mm-hmm. So that segment was called AFL Players We Saw That We Liked. Round of applause, please.
Yay!
See? Look at that. There's people here. See? They're excited. Excited to be a part of things. Now, Sam, we're moving into minor league players who finish strong that we like to make an impact in 2026. So they had to have had a solid finish, Sam. Now, you're not really a part of this segment, but I just wanted to give you the mic for a second if you want to say something.
I'm really excited about Lazaro Montas, one of my favorite Mariners.
Who doesn't technically qualify for this, but we wanted to let him say something
about
him.
If you look at his last 3 years in the minors, he has been in two levels each year. He dominates the first level and then moves down and struggles a little bit and then takes off. I got to watch him the last two seasons, end of 24, beginning of 25, in Everett, where I'm at, and He seems, there's no situation where you watch him where he isn't the same person. He's always in the game, cheering, positive, whether he's in the dugout or on the field or at the plate. Like, that guy is bigger than the moment. And I have a feeling that while everybody's excited about Colt Emerson and Cade Anderson, don't sleep on Lazaro Montas. He had a little bit of a struggle when he got called up to AA Arkansas. It's a pitcher's league. It's a pitcher's park. It really reduces hitting numbers across that entire league. He was picking it back up the last couple of weeks. He finally got his footing and his steady, and I don't care what you say. I'm in love with the man, and I just want to share my love with all of you. Lazaro Montas, if you're in Dynasty, please pick him up. He is awesome.
Ben, we're going to thank you, Sam.
Trade
Wonderful
him.
Job.
Power all day.
Don't forget, Fantasy Family Feud with Sam Worthing tonight. Very excited.
Yes.
Ben is your name. Ben. Ben. Tell me if I'm wrong here. Last year, you remember this. You and I were sitting there at the stadium a year ago at First Pitch Arizona. We were watching some teams.
Right.
And Xavier Isaac was on the field.
I remember that.
He's a big dude, right?
Yes.
He's like 6'5", kind of like Lazaro Montes.
He was kind of standing near Moises Ballesteros, as I recall.
Yes,
and they were
right.
Kind of in the same neighborhood.
Right, they were in like the same lineup or the same game.
Yeah.
But
not the same height.
They're not the same height.
No.
How tall is
Ballesteros has got to be.
Moises. No. But as far as Montez and Isaac, are there any similarities in their profiles that you can think of? Because you know this stuff, or am I crazy?
There's a lot more swing and miss with Isaac, which is why I think down the road things are going to go a lot better for Montez. He's been a guy who, in general, has controlled strikeouts. That was what made his transition to double A odd, because he did strike out at a very high rate when he got up to double A. But toward the end of the year, that was the thing for sure that he did correct at that level. I'd love to see what he does when he returns and see how he handles pitchers at that level next year. Now,
yes,
he was only 20.
Wow.
You know,
that's great news.
That's a solid, when you're 20 and you still, what did he end up hitting? 14 home runs? 14 home runs at double A in 64 games. So.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. What about some other guys, Ben? I see a guy here, Joe Mack.
Yeah, if you were paying attention to the Rates and Barrels podcast this morning, they kind of crapped on Agustin Ramirez a little bit.
Personal favorite of this show, yeah, Agustin Ramirez.
We didn't take it personally.
But one of the reasons why I think that's a really good idea to kind of fade him this year, especially in single-year leagues, is Joe Mack is by far a better defender than Ramirez will ever be behind the plate. And in the last month or so of the season, he was the best hitter in AAA. Led all of AAA in home runs that last month of the year, had something like a 1,400 or 1,500 OPS in September. Mack is, he's a guy who was a slow burn. This is a high school catcher, and that's a horrible, if you listen to us on the Prospect Show, you know, that's pretty much, if you drafted a high school catcher in the first three rounds, we are going to make fun of you on the podcast when we review the draft.
Yeah.
But Mack is a guy who it took him a little while. He had to develop. He was always that guy behind the plate defensively, and it took him a little extra long to develop the bat. But now that he has, he had a really nice year in 24, and he improved on that last year, all in the upper minors. It just seems like it would make too darn much sense to put him as your primary guy very early in the year next year if you're Miami, especially since he has a good relationship with a lot of these young pitchers that they're going to be leaning on pretty heavily.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Joe Mack, did he make you
Mac Daddy? You want me to sing Mac Daddy?
I do.
Totally. I've sung too. I need a break.
More 90s R&B that nobody cares about. Crisscross. Totally macked out. Come on. Joe Mack's fun. Is anybody a fan of Joe Mack out here? Any hands? There's a thumb. That's a hand and a thumb.
There you go.
Thank you. Wonderful. All right, that's two.
David all the way in the back. Barely see him, but there he is.
Hey, David! There he is. He's over there. You can't see him, but he's there. All right, so then we've got this man named Sterling, not Sterling, Sterling Thompson.
Sterling.
Yep. Sterling.
Yeah.
He's very stern. Is Sterling a stern man?
You'd have to ask his girlfriend on that.
What's the deal with Sterling Thompson?
He finished out the year he spent the entire year in AAA for Colorado. He is not
Coors.
A guy.
Coors. I don't have my drops. Yeah. Who's got the deepest voice here?
Coors.
Coors. Yeah.
But he.
I like beer.
But he did. He's a guy. He's probably not going to be someone you love in fantasy, but he's a guy who really hits gaps well. And he finished the year strong. Obviously, Colorado is just Colorado. We know that there's plenty of. We don't know what the heck's going
on. Yeah, guys that you get called up and then nothing happens.
Colorado doesn't know what's happening. I don't think that's really a problem that we have. It's everybody in general.
Absolutely.
Okay. But he is definitely a guy who could come up. He could start immediately putting up a solid batting average, and it'd be tough to pull him out of the lineup at that point.
Oh, yeah. Well, he hit 300 at AAA in 120 games. That's not nothing, but it's also Colorado Springs, right?
Yeah. It's PCL, but he finished the year, I believe the final month of the year, I'd have to pull it up, but I believe it was something like a 1,200 OPS. I'm pulling it up right now.
That's good. I've heard that's good.
I've heard that's it's better than not good.
Yeah.
320. Well, Yeah, August and September. His August was a 1,200 OPS. His September was a 1013 OPS, but 406, 519, 703 in August, 327, 413, 600 in September.
What separates him, though, from other Rockies hitters that have just not done anything for us, really?
He does not strike out. That's a big thing, is he's a guy, over those 2 months, he had 100 and, doing math in my brain is always a fun thing, 142 plate appearances and struck out 25 times.
Okay.
So you're talking about a guy that might be a 20 to 25% strikeout guy. That's, I mean, it's not Mike Toglia. And he still actually walks a little bit, too, because he also walked 18 times in that time.
Isn't one of your favorites, Warming?
Burnabout? Oh, Warning Burnabout.
Warning?
Yeah, that got cold.
Another quick. Another AFL alum.
Yeah. Of course. Warming?
Yeah.
I don't bring him up, though, just because he's a Rockies guy. Also, he...
Because we're a Rockies podcast.
Well, we are, first and foremost.
Right.
But,
yes.
Of course.
I think I could look it up, but he didn't strike out a ton either. He had pretty good contact rates, right? So, okay.
But he's not... he was also a guy who was much more singles-based.
Okay.
I think while Thompson may not be great for fantasy, he's going to be really good in cores because he'll hit a lot of gaps.
Excellent.
So this could be a guy that gets you 35-plus doubles and a high batting average. It just may not show up. And he's not going to be a guy that steals 30 bases. He's not going to be a guy that hits 30 home runs. So that probably isn't sexy for a course hitter. But
yeah. And he's an outfielder. So yeah, we only got you got Jordan Bagg.
The counting stats stuff will be tough because he's in course. But it's just someone to keep an eye on because that could help your batting average. And, I mean, if Luis Arraez can find himself on – fantasy rosters and actually drawing any sort of attention in an auction, Thompson should too.
Okay.
So. Yeah, batting average is a real problem this year. We only had one batter in the National League that was over 300 qualified. Like there's a real,
oh, really?
There was only one this year and it was Trey Turner and he barely qualified from injuries. And so like there's real scarcity there. And I think, you know, you see the difference. The AL had more players, but I'm more focused in on batting average.
I did not know that, and I spent $1,850 on a main event entry. last one on this segment, players who finish strong could be valuable in 26, is an old classic, name that we all know.
Tamar Johnson of the Pirates finished out the year strong. He was supposed to be the next great batting average guy when he was drafted, and everyone was talking about a 70 grade hit tool as a high schooler, which is stupid. But that's, I mean, that's just no. You don't ever give a kid who's never faced a professional pitch that high of a grade.
Okay, good tip.
Like as in a current grade. Maybe that's a future grade, but that's not a current grade.
Okay.
But he finished out. His final 2 months of the year were both over 300. And actually, his final month of the year, what caught my attention is he actually walked more than he struck out.
Oh.
Not a lot of power in those last 2 months, which that's a little bit of a concern. But he got on base at a 540 ratio in September.
Excellent.
That's, you know, we're talking small samples here.
Right. But. How does that open up for him, though? He's 21 years old, Tamar Johnson is, and Pittsburgh is a, we can't say bad words here. We're trying to keep it clean. Bob Nutting is a negative value human being.
Pittsburgh is wasting Paul Skeens' career
everybody. So we know these things to be true. But in terms of opportunity for Tamar, where he fits on the depth chart and all that, do you think he should, not that he should, but will get a shot in 26?
I don't know that the Pirates exactly have figured anything out at second base. They've had a lot of actually decent young guys that they've tried through. Your Nick Play Yorks, your
Nick Gonzalez. Yeah, lots of Knicks.
Apparently. But they haven't settled on any of those guys as their guy. And so I guess for me, I'm kind of wondering if he might not have that opportunity to take over second base this year from day one.
Okay.
Certainly he'll come into spring training with that opportunity because
he'll be 21 when spring starts. Yeah. He turns 22 in June next year. So
Pittsburgh needs to open up their doors. Pittsburgh,
yeah, but
needs
they never
to
do. Play. They don't. I mean, we they all. The Bubba Chandler thing was a nightmare.
That was a disaster.
I'm not saying that they're going to. I'm simply saying today that if they're going to be serious about not wasting Paul Skeens, they need to open up everything because they're not going to spend money. They're not going to go out and get talent.
Like, you mean like Connor Griffin coming up?
Like I like it all. Like, at this point, like you have literally the best pitcher that we've seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul Skeens is in this rarefied air. I don't have to argue that with anybody, right? Like right. We all know mm-hmm. to waste that talent, to have that talent going undone. Like, I just open up the doors, let the kids play, do whatever you need to do to keep your stuff cheap.
Oh, we're fired.
Your thing's cheap, yeah sorry.
Like, Menace feuds off.
Sorry. I'll go fire myself right now.
But
you know what I mean? Like, it's so frustrating because Pittsburgh has this beautiful park. They've got passionate fans. They've got history in that city. Like,
yes.
That could be Chicago. Like, the people that are in Chicago have a team that, you know, we could get into the Ricketts and what they're not doing right with Chicago. But they at least are spending $250 million a year on that payroll. They are at least right. putting out a product that is, like, going to be competitive. Like,
yeah.
It's just frustrating. It's sad.
Yeah.
And not that I have
rain
bias.
Is wet and so on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Okay. Okay. This is Theodore from Calvin and the Chipmunks. You're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Polanco Podcast. Okay. Two arrows, two Z's.
What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Okay, that was fun. Thanks for being here. It's still the Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. Hey, everybody. All right, we've killed how much time now?
Hey, before we get to the next section.
Yes.
Can we do confession time? Is that okay?
Confessions.
Confessions.
Go ahead.
First pitch Arizona. Palapalooza confessions.
That's right. First pitch confessions.
Ooh. All right, so this is what happened. And I want y'all to hear it from me, because I don't think I've told anybody this before right now. So I'm at the hotel bar last night having a couple beers, just hanging out, nothing crazy going on. The hotel manager comes up to me, introduces herself, said, "My name's Gabriella. May I speak with you for a minute?" Now, I don't know about y'all, but when the manager of the establishment you're in wants to chat with you,
not good.
This is not a good conversation about to happen, in my experience.
Agreed.
So I got a little defensive, and I said, "Gabriella, I know what happened in the bathroom. It wasn't me." She looked at me, and she goes, "What?" I go, "What?" And she goes, No. So I've been talking to the staff. Shout out Janae and Cole, best bartenders ever.
Yeah.
First name basis, that's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so she's, Gabrielle said, "So I've talked to the staff, and we want to honor you." I was like, "Oh, wow.
Wow, dude.
I don't have any honors. This will be great." And she goes, "So we want to honor you. We're going to, the hotel's going to buy a plaque and attach it to the bar stool you're sitting
in. Wow.
With your name and information on it, because it's come to our attention that you've logged 47 hours on that bar stool in the past 3 days. Shattering records.
Unbelievable.
Joe, I said Gabrielle. So jealous.
That's right. I said Gabrielle, oh, my wife is going to be so proud.
Your service has been documented and appreciated.
That's
thank
right.
you,
thank
Britain.
You for your service.
And I go, well, so this is great. What do I have to do? And she hands me a form and says, well, fill this out. It's the engraving form or whatever for your plaque. And, you know, just put your information. And I go, I'll take care of this right now. I said, all right, name. Mike Virginia, go Orioles. Here's my cell phone number in Virginia. All right, here you go, Gabrielle.
Congratulations, Mike.
She said, you know, we'll have it done in a few weeks. Just we'll text you a picture,
and yeah, we'll fly him out.
I said, great. So there you go, Mike V. That's for you, buddy.
Yeah.
You're coming here next year. I've got a stool literally with your name on it at the bar. So hopefully you'll come back.
That's great news. Thank
actually,
you.
I've got a confession too.
Uh-oh.
I knew about this and I changed it to say go Yankees instead of Orioles. So when you come in, it's going to be totally a go Yankees seat for you.
Oh, man.
I don't think that's
it rages on.
Yeah. And it does. We're here, everybody. Hey, hello, everyone. Welcome, newcomers. Yeah. Good to have you here. It's the Palazzo Podcast. There's water in the corner if anyone's thirsty. There you go. Now let's talk a little bit. This is my segment. I wanted to talk a little bit about some guys who seem to have fantasy value, but they had a 300 or sub OBP. I just thought it was interesting. If you look at some of the names with the 300 OBP or lower who qualified, obviously. Qualified hitters only. And guys like Joe Adell, right? How many home runs did Joe Adell hit this year? Anybody?
29.
37. 36 was close. 38 was close. 37 dongs for
37?
Joe. Yeah.
In a row?
Oh, no.
That
shout out, Clerks.
Sorry,
that
sorry.
Would be a record. Could be a record. So Joe Adell, I'm sure he was rostered, right? 37 home runs is valuable. But, you know, like the rest of the stats, like, did anyone, we have this segment we do here on the live stream. You know this one. Mm-hmm. It's called
do we have named segments?
We do. We really do. We even have a video intro.
Oh,
it's the Ziggy from The Wire. Anybody know Ziggy from The Wire? Season 2? Yep. You know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Annoying, right?
Terrible.
Terrible. I mean, no, spoiler alert, it goes in a different way. But initially, this guy is so annoying. So we combined it with Ziggy and AJ Soprano, who's also incredibly annoying. AJ Soprano always whining and just complaining. And I maybe you feel bad for him because his dad's a gangster. And I understand that. But either way, it's called the Ziggy Soprano, AJ Soprano and Ziggy from The Wire Most Annoying Player of the Week Award. So these guys would fit in there often. And one of them on the list is a regular of ours on the show, Matt McClain. All right, Matt. Hey, way to go, Matt. Thanks a lot for everything you didn't do. But Matt McClain literally had a 300 OBP this year. But he hit like 220 at best, right? And he had 15 dongs, 18 steals, or vice versa. It was disappointing. Mike knows at home, Mike Virginia. We were hyping up Matt McClain all season. Really thought things would take off this year. And I know Leanne's sitting here like, yeah, it's very sad.
We get to see Sal Stewart next year, hopefully.
I love Sal Stewart.
There you go.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. But like, what do you do with guys like Matt McClain? What do you do with Matt McClain?
I think that he's an interesting bounce back, obviously, because of how poorly 25 went for him compared to 24. But like with him, I think that he's somebody that I'm going to watch somebody else draft. Like, I want to root for him. He's a really good dude, and he plays in a good park. And you know,
also a first-round pick, and that label can stick for a while.
Yes.
And we're like, and he also lost a year to injury, so we're like, okay, well, we'll give him a chance.
Yeah,
but I think we kind of know where he's at.
I think that he's going to find success in a different organization.
And
in fantasy. Well, I think that that's the pathway to success. And I think I'm going to watch him on somebody else's roster next year. That's what I'm doing with him.
Agreed, Ben?
Yeah. And the only way I'm interested is I'm at the very end of the draft and somehow he's still there because everyone else has thought the same thing. And he is a bench player only for me.
So you take a low risk flyer at the end.
I'm not putting him in any sort of position where I'm relying on him.
Yeah. Well, production. I think, okay, that makes sense. Britton, I think I know how you feel because you made it pretty clear all year long how you felt.
Get rid of this guy. No, forget it. Let it go.
You bum.
You got a Queen Elsa that nonsense.
Let it go.
He had a lot of talent. He was coming up. Injury sideline him. Time to just cut that cord, baby.
Cut the cord.
Yeah.
Cut that mullet. Shout out Wesley Willis.
Wireless.
Wireless.
Mac McClain is. perfect
sense. Wow.
That's a good one.
No bounce back, nothing. See you never.
That was good.
Okay. Augustine Ramirez, we mentioned earlier in the show. I love Augustine Ramirez. I mean, getting those steals at catcher was awesome this year, right? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, there we go. See? It was fun. But like 284 would be P? Not so fun. Now, some of you are like, well, we don't care about OBP. We're average people. And I've heard that. Did you say that to me?
Yeah.
I was doing my Britton impression.
I said it just like that with so much contempt like you just did.
But like,
I said it like a normal person. Yeah. I don't know.
Let me do my best.
And they're batting average. And you batting average.
Bye-bye, hey, bye-bye, hey. That's my Britton. Is that good? Is that good?
Normal person.
Augustine, he debuted. I mean, Augustine, barely. Is he 21? Barely? Right? If I had to look up, he's not. Right. I mean, the guy came up, he played a full season of baseball. So I'm willing. That's a different story, in my opinion, from a Matt McClain, who we kind of know more who he is. But Augustine should, even with Joe Mack on the brink, like where he's going. And he's going to develop. And the power is going to continue.
24.
24? Oh, yeah. He's a little older than I thought he was. Okay. Yeah. A little older, but still, there's room to grow at 24, is there not? You remember when you were 24, Sam?
Barely.
I think let's stop there. Actually, let's just stop there. We want to be invited back next year. So, I guess with Augustine too, though, he had an ex WOBA that was like 40 points higher than his WOBA too. So, if you're into those kind of stats, you might be like, "Oh, there's room to grow." But then I got like PCA. There's been a ton of talk about PCA. You were a PCA
100%.
Guy. You were very excited
I'm all in this year too. I don't care that he has terrible swing metrics.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, he's all motor.
Okay.
He's not going to fail.
Is he going to have a OBP that's like 320? Can I get that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's going to hit home runs and he's going to steal a bunch
of bases. But this is the point when I'm bringing guys up like this. Like, you got a 30-30 season.
Everybody hates PCA.
They do?
Yeah.
Well, I don't hate him. I don't hate him at all. I just think there's been a lot of talk about who he is and what he could be. MVP talk and a little. Remember, like June, July, there was MVP. It was full on.
Yeah. Oh, he had a terrible second half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was dumb.
It
was premature at the very least, right? Yeah. And not to go back to when Sam was 24, but the thing about that is, to me, you got a guy who gives you a 30-30 season, essentially. That's worth something, right? But then, like, the other stats are bumming you out. So I guess I'm just curious what we make of these kinds of players because they give you something, but they take away, right?
I think you have, especially in the guys who offer you both power and speed, there is a long list of this type of player. And you need to figure out how to prepare your roster if you're going to have to do this. And especially, I mean, if you're in an OBP league, someone like PCA that was brought up today, and I believe that was in the rates and barrels that they talked about playing time. A guy who's got a premium defensive position, he's going to play every day at a premium defensive position. He'll give you counting stats. So he's going to get you home runs and steals. But you also need to balance that out that, okay, there's a good chance that he completely, you know, a head-to-head league, he might completely tank multiple weeks for me over the course of the season.
Right.
And so I need to have that balanced out because he might give me a 180 week, but hit three home runs and steal four bases in that week, which are absolutely valuable for your head to head. But
so it's just about roster construction.
Oh yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the way you can balance this. Yeah. There's a whole list of guys here that are, I think that you've got written down here that are probably pretty similar in that boat.
Okay. Sam, you want to say something?
I was just going to say that, you know, the thing about opportunity is that they let him have run all year, and he had this amazing first half and a back-to-earth second half. And I think because of what was going on with the Cubs, it wasn't really a time to attack his deficiencies. There were so many things going on with the team and the playoff push.
Yeah.
I really think that we're going to see a lot of what PCAs can be after having an offseason to work on his problems, mm-hmm. fix some of his holes. I'm actually super cautiously optimistic because, you know, Britton, like you said, he's got a motor. That kid just plays and plays and plays and goes. And, like, I love grinders. This is a kid who's not going to be okay with not being a good hitter. And so I think that there's an opportunity. Maybe it's not 26, but if he gets playing time like this, he's going to become at least a 250 hitter.
Okay, well, more to the point, these other guys, Addison Barger, Luis Garcia Jr., Michael Harris, we all know that story.
He's like the reverse of what PCA did.
You like that? Yeah. Michael Harris?
What?
Wait. Yeah. You were the guy who was wearing a Georgia shirt earlier, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, well...
I'm not even
Oh, I was about to put you guys together because this is our resident Braves expert.
Yeah. And Harris is a guy, you know, when you're drafting him, you draft him knowing that your first half is going to suck. Every year, it's been the way he has been since he came into the league. His first X amount of games are going to be meh. But then he could be a legit MVP type of player in the second half of the league.
Wow.
Second half. Just because of the power and speed he offers.
You didn't stutter.
I did not stutter.
You said MVP.
You had a guy who could get you 15, 15 and a half. That's impressive.
Oh, that's,
you
know, yeah, that's worth something, of course.
Yeah.
Juan Soto effect, what do you mean?
Captain Mets first base catcher, who was supposed to be credited
with
the
Juan Soto.
Oh.
Hey,
you're jumping ahead on us.
We actually got that. We're going to talk about that momentarily.
Yeah.
Good. You are good.
I'm always ahead of the curve.
You are
so precious.
He's on just fire. Right, boom shakalaka. So in the end, these guys, Addison Barger at a 301 OBP. There was value there, power, but then, you know, he's going to grow too. He should. Dansby Swanson. What do you do with that guy? He has value at times. Defense. Oh, you're fading. That's a fade. Mm-hmm. This is for anybody back there. He's doing this fade. And I will say that. Defense matters with a guy like Dansby. He'll still play every day because of his defense, like you were saying. But
then you got to plot for that.
Yes. In the end, it's all about, like, you're playing head-to-head, you're playing roadie, you're playing points. Is it week-to-week? Are you looking for volume? All these things are part of your roster construction. But I just think it's interesting that some of these guys that I would – you know, Eugenio Suarez, almost 50 dongs, couldn't crack a 300 OBP, right? But that's a lot of power. And when you're star for power, you're happy with that. You don't really care either way, right? Any final thoughts on any of these players and, like, that offer something but take away in others? It's just about roster construction for you, or?
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, I played a lot of batting average leagues.
I'm the batting all I care
about
guy.
All I care about is home runs.
So. If you missed that 5 minutes ago, it's from the past. So.
Yeah, it's hey, we're going to talk about it later.
Oh, we are going to talk about it later in room 423.
Yeah.
Be there. All right.
Now I know where to put my beer on the tab.
Yes, everybody. Room 423. It's not my room. We're doing great, by the way. I tell you, our pacing's good, and our whole show sheet might be completed. We want to talk quickly about hirings here. Palazzo Podcast, two L's, two Z's.
Give me two.
Give him two. So guess who's back?
Back again. Guess who's back?
Guess who's back?
Yep. Who's go. Yeah, I can do it, baby.
I'm from Detroit. Metro Detroit. All right. Paul DePodesta's back in baseball, folks.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill is back in baseball, folks. Who's excited? Anybody?
Browns fans.
Woo, it's quiet. It's quiet.
Colorado being Colorado. <Woo-hoo! laughs>
Yeah, so Paul DePodesta's been hired, and he's going to run the show, I guess, for the Rockies. This is what we know to be true.
Yep.
Yes, just fresh off the Cleveland Browns, so you know he's ready to rock and roll. And how the game has changed.
Intense success they have had over the last decade. Yeah.
It's incredible what the Browns have done. We all know that. We don't need to talk about it.
But this is a step up for the Rockies, as sad as that is. Like, this is a demonstrable, like, they're at least doing something.
There were people who thought that Adam Ottavino might pitch and possibly act in the front office at the same time.
I read that.
That was a legit story that came out from a news source.
God bless Colorado. Oh my God.
Coors.
So it's just whatever.
I don't know.
Business
that we know
as
anything.
Usual. I mean, you know, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I think he might try to find the next Scott Hatteberg, but you know, that's only about 25 years late.
Yeah,
so that's,
well, that's okay.
Going to be a little bit of a problem.
Be a lot of Moneyball jokes. Yeah. So.
Oh yeah, and that's
also what he was doing with the Browns. Like, if you looked into it, we're not even really sure. He wasn't in.
Was he in charge of the contract to the quarterback from
to Deshaun Watson? Yes, he was.
Oh God.
I don't know if he was like the owner's right-hand man, and it's a mess in Cleveland. We don't need to go into Cleveland Browns front office politics here, but...
We're a Cleveland Browns podcast.
Yeah, hey, we are a Cleveland Browns podcast. No, but the thing is that he didn't even live... Like, he was living in California, I believe. Like, he lived on the left coast, and he's like this guy for the Browns, and nobody knows who's really in charge. So it'd be interesting to see... I don't know if Dee Podesta knows how to navigate people as well as he might know analytics. And that's an important part of being a front office person.
Right.
Like, ask my Detroit Tigers after their disastrous, embarrassing article about all these guys that were terrible people in the front office. That's a shame. I'm ashamed to be a Tigers fan when that came out a few months ago. Really embarrassing stuff. You got to be a good person who knows how to work with people just as much as you can build a team and know stats. So,
hey, speaking of coaching changes,
oh yeah,
I want to run this by you. I haven't spoken to anybody about this. I'm genuinely curious. What do you think about the San Francisco Giants hiring Tony V out of Go Vols, University of Tennessee, extremely successful college coach, never coached in the minors, never was in the minors, obviously no MLB experience whatsoever.
Yes.
Now he's been successful at Tennessee, and
that's
great.
That's our third R&B 90s hit of this podcast.
What was that, Outkast?
Arrested
Development. Oh,
yeah. Tennessee.
All right, so... So, Tony V, what are your thoughts? I'll wait to share mine.
Anything is better than Bob Melvin. I've been watching Bob Melvin as a manager.
What's wrong with Bob Melvin?
We don't have long enough to talk about how terrible he was, but I watched him as a Mariners manager, and that guy has no in-game strategy. That guy's terrible with his people, and he always kind of looks like he's a little milquetoast. You never know
where... That's exactly where, the word I was going to use.
You never know where he is at, and I think that your manager needs to... Like, you need to know where your manager's at. The players need to know what they're rallying around. There needs to be a clear direction, and Bob Melvin has his thumb up his ears. So, like, I don't know what to do about that gentleman.
Ben?
So glad he's gone.
So glad he's gone. Agreed?
So, I think this... I don't know that I would have projected Tony V as the first coach to go from college straight to Major League Baseball, but it was coming. Yeah. With the change in NIL and having to manage a college team very similar to the way you have to manage through free agency
whole
and
new
through
world.
Roster building and things like that in the major leagues... I mean, there have been conversations. One of the really fun interviews I got to see from Twins guys is when they went and interviewed Wes Johnson a year after he left the Twins and went back to college. And he talked about how much more intense it was in college trying to do player management.
Yeah,
that's a huge thing that we may not grasp has changed in the college game. And, you know, he makes the joke about, you know, Tony V made the joke about having to babysit Drew Gilbert, which that's a whole nother conversation.
He is
Drew Gilbert's a lot of fun.
He's a big baby.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy's here. What's up, Andy? Andy, number one Palazzo fan right there.
Shout
there he is. Yeah. Andy Bell.
Andy.
Ducks North Roto into his house.
That's right. One of the originals.
So, but I really do think that Tony V is, he's a guy who you're going to find pretty quick whether he's going to be successful or not. He has a style that is going to either really click or it's going to really rub people wrong, and it's going to be very quick that you'll find that.
But what's the big bugaboo, I guess? What's the disconnect for a college coach in the major leagues? Because they're professionals?
No, Tony V is a rah-rah guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and that works for 18 to 22-year-old college students, I mean, college athletes. But if you're a 30-year-old vet, you don't want some guy coming in there going, let's go get him, boy.
I mean, it's a different sport, but Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl. He was a rah-rah guy. I mean, you can do it at the professional level.
Oh, true. No, it could work because he's totally opposite Melvin.
Yeah.
Which may be what they were looking for, yeah. I guess. Somebody to fire up the program.
It's a matter of – and you know, just like if you're trying to talk.
Thanks for being here, guys. Take care. Everybody say bye. There they go. They were here at the beginning. Thank you so much.
But if you really want to get into
That's right. If anyone gets up, you're going to be embarrassed. Now.
Roster management.
Oh, hey, there we go. Yeah. Thanks, thank you, sir. Godspeed. Godspeed.
But proper roster management, you need to.
I think we need to change topics.
You love me, Josh.
You need to individually manage, and okay. that's a big deal. And he has a style that has worked in college.
Yep.
He will need to adapt to the players he has on his roster. Okay. I mean, you can't. You know, speaking of a guy that might be qualified for the next thing we get into, you can't harp on Marco Luciano and try and get the most out of him and at the same time turn around and harp at Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
Just ain't.
I think that makes sense.
That's two very
you think
different things.
You think Devers is going to respect Tony V's opinion?
Devers is all about respect, Brendan. Well,
I think Devers doesn't have a choice anymore.
But to this fine young gentleman you were alluding to, now let's talk about Mr. Richardson, who is now part of the Braves. What's the story? Who is this guy? For people that don't know.
So Antoine Richardson was the first base coach for the Mets. The Mets last year had the highest stolen base percentage in the league, and they somehow made Juan Soto, who has, I think they have unhooked the tractor that was behind him, but that's about the only thing that he actually sped up this year.
Yeah.
He was still extremely slow, but yet stole 30 bases.
Well, Josh Naylor, I mean.
But
you don't have to be fast, right?
Richardson is very good at teaching steals, and he comes onto a team with plenty of guys who have a lot of speed, and it's not been utilized in the last few years.
On Walt Weiss's ship, by the way.
Yes, which...
Woo! Good hire!
I think Walt was about the 14th most desired person of an opinion of Braves fans online, and that's only because most folks understood that they weren't going to be getting who they wanted. So, you know, that was the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
But Richardson coming in does add something different there that... You might see Jerickson Profar, Ozzie Albies stealing 25 plus bases this year. Albies was a guy in the minors who was a 40 steal guy and was a tremendously quick. He has really quick get up and go. I mean, mainly because he's so close to the ground, but he's really good on that first step.
That was a shot.
Well, I mean,
that was a shot.
I'm not on Dancing with the Stars. I can make jokes about short people.
Yes,
okay. Man, nobody in this room knows that joke. My daughters would be on my case.
We're too old. I mean, yeah. 6'7",
6'7".
Oh, yes.
Nothing.
Maybe Richardson can unlock Austin Riley's inner Freddie Freeman?
Well, I mean.
Give me 15 to 20?
It wouldn't surprise me. I joked right away that Matt Olson is going to end up with a 30-30 year.
Hey!
I don't truly believe that because Matt is on the opposite side of Albies as far as it takes a whole lot for him to get his feet going. But once he is in motion, Matt Olson is a very good base runner. And so he is a guy who I think you're going to see. That is another area where he's coming onto a roster that has a lot of – that he could have some success working with guys – doing that first to third stuff, and they could do a lot better moving the ball around. This was such a station-to-station team last year because they just – that's the way they were playing. And, you know, they have this Acuna guy.
Yeah. He's not running anymore. It's over.
Acuna.
Party's it.
Acuna. I mean
– Acuna. Yeah. Sam, you motioned as you wanted to speak words.
Well, I was just going to say I'm really excited for – the Braves, because they have been station to station for a couple years. It's been really stagnant in that ballpark and for that team. And I think the excitement, I think the ability to be able to get those players like Albies, like Acuna, like Matt Olson, like there's just a Michael Harris. Like you get some fire, and there's something to stealing bases. We saw it happen with a couple teams this year, the Mariners being one of them. Mm-hmm. They just started running on the field. And
Hyesung Kim's on this team now, too. It'd be
nope,
great.
He's not.
Oh, he got
his option was declined.
Oh, crap. So. Ola Cola.
I'm excited for him. I think that this could unlock some of the problems that we've seen the last couple years in the Braves lineup. So,
yeah.
I think it's going to go really well for him.
Unfortunately, if you know Walt Weiss, that might make him. Having guys that can actually run might make him more willing to start Nick Allen at shortstop. Because Nick can bunt and Nick can slap. And if you've got guys that are running, he could he'll think back to the late 80s when he was with the A's and like, hey, I used to be able to do that with certain guys.
Carney Lansford.
You know, it's a little different when you don't have righted up Canseco and McGuire with you too, though.
That's not proven.
It's a little different, so. Canseco has voluntarily said he
that's
did
true.
It,
so, you're I mean, right. You know. You got me on that one. You got me, didn't he?
Confession. It's confession time, Canseco.
In a book released 30 years ago.
All right, well, we're right on cue for our final segment of this wonderful Palazzo Podcast live stream, which we all thank you for being here, truly. Yeah. You, my friend. Yes, you. I like you. I saw you in the relievers thing, and I'm like, I like that guy. He just felt like a... I like that.
He was pointing the
person behind you. Can't you tell? I mean, from one big mouth to another.
No, yes. Nobody here is going to call you out on that.
True stories. So, Ben, what do we got?
So, for those of us who are prospect folks, we know that much like 6'7", or K-pop Demon Hunters, things are usually pretty quick turnaround, and if you don't suddenly get production, suddenly get moving forward, it goes away, and you start to ignore guys. The guy who kind of epitomized that last year was Colson Montgomery. We had heard about Colson Montgomery for so long, people got sick of hearing this guy is going to be the next big thing, and then he did it.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to look at some guys who've been hyped, and they haven't yet broken through. So I started with a local one for me, being from the upper Midwest, and Emmanuel Rodriguez.
Hey, there's a name.
The batting average went terribly south in the upper minors, but he still gets on base like nobody's business. He just can't get on the field. And the Twins would be willing to work with a high OBP, low batting average, but you got to be on the field. That doesn't really work. I mean, granted, they've lived with Byron Buxton doing that for how many years? But he's in winter ball right now. And oddly enough, he's not walking very well in winter ball. But he is crushing the crud out of baseball. He's got something like an 800 slugging.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was Dominican or where exactly for sure. But he's really hitting well in winter ball. So if he's healthy and comes to spring training, it could be very interesting what the Twins do, because they've got some decisions to make financially with other outfielders.
Yeah.
And so if they are they're convinced that they're going to get something out of him and or Walker Jenkins, they might be more than willing to consider options with some of their other outfielders.
Yeah, Emmanuel Rodriguez is going to be, he's 22 still. Seems like he's been around, for at least from my perspective, like, when is this going to happen? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hype on him, maybe unfairly too soon, right?
Yeah, well, just injuries. I mean, that's the issue.
Well, that obviously ruined some of his cachet, absolutely. But, yeah, like, the guy's only 22 years old still, so there's a whole world to prove that he can play ball. And I think Colson Montgomery, the lesson for me from Colson Montgomery is that
you can suck really bad in the minor leagues and still take off in the major leagues.
Yeah. Exactly, right?
The Colson Montgomery story, I love it.
That's what it is. That's right. What happened. That's what happened with Colson Montgomery. I mean, Duke, you know, right? Did you think Colson Montgomery was going to be anything special within the last year before he debuted?
I get too scared with anybody who has, like, a ton of swing and miss
in the minor. Yeah. So with swing and miss stuff, you're like, uh-oh, this is a little too high for me. Yeah. He's not going to be able to, even though he just kept hitting home run after home run. Like, I'd watch the game log. And I'm like, well, this will end this week. I'm not going to pick him up now because next week he'll go cold. Yeah. No, more home runs.
He was like this year's Lawrence Butler for you.
Oh, yeah, except no.
Just
no
waiting
speed
for it to stop.
Yes, yeah. Right, exactly. Very good, Britton. That's a good one. Yeah. I was very like, in 2024, the Lawrence Butler run I thought would end, but it kept going and going and going till August 16th, 2024. That was my deadline. And I didn't quite hit it, but it wasn't that far off.
You hit it in August 2025.
Yeah! Just there we go. It was a year late, or a year early. All right, who else, Ben?
So these are all going to be Central Division guys, which was not intentional, but just...
Why not? Let's represent the Central.
Noah Schultz with the White Sox. I think last year you would have seen Noah Schultz in the majors, but he really struggled with his location. The underlying swing rates are incredible. When they do swing at his stuff, they aren't making contact. He just has to be more consistent about getting it in the zone, so they're forced to swing at it. And that's there. I did hear in one of the last starts, I was pulling up some of his starts. One of his last starts, the announcer talked about the catcher going out like two or three times and made a comment that the White Sox noticed something in his delivery that may be tipping his pitches.
Oh, okay.
And so if he's had that throughout the year and guys were sitting on something because they could see it was coming, plus he wasn't hitting the zone, yeah, absolutely, that makes sense why he had the numbers he did.
I just had a new segment idea now when you said that. What's from that? Now on, if we find someone else might be tipping, we're not sure, we're going to call it Still Tipping. Mike Jones.
Still tipping the fofos.
That's what we're going to do. I love it. I think it's fun.
That's literally the best idea you've ever had.
I think it's even, too.
So, and obviously, you know, White Sox may be in a better shape or a better spot than they were the past off season, but they're still a long ways away from a competitive club. So there's
long
going to be an opportunity.
December. Yeah, it's going to be a
so
long one.
So the other one is a guy who Britton had to tell me, my other pitcher I'm going to talk about, a guy that Britton had to tell me wasn't actually here because I saw a guy yesterday that had Hence on the back of his jersey. Tink Hence.
Ah, Tink.
Is
different Tink, different Hence, excuse
yes,
me.
Right. Different Hence. Yeah. He's a coach for Glendale. So I was just kind of, but I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. But
oh, side note, we also saw Chad Pinder as a coach. Y'all remember Chad Pinder from the A's?
Yeah.
I got so excited. I don't know why I'm not a fan of the A's, but so I was sitting there, I got excited, and he started walking toward me. And I go up and I go, Chad. And he kind of looks up and I go, swipe right. And he did it.
Yay!
I'm like, yay!
So,
and I was the only one that cared her, I thought. But it was like a highlight of my afternoon.
Well, I had just shut off my camera, and Pinder, there were a couple kids screaming for balls in the crowd. And Pinder comes to the gate with a ball in hand and kind of motions for this kid to come down. And so he comes running down. He hands the ball. He says, now I want you to keep being loud, but I want you to say positive things. And I just thought that is the most milk toast thing that you could possibly have said to a young child when handing him a baseball.
That's right. Clean, quality.
Clean, so. Yeah. So, but Tink Hence has never really had a problem with production. It's 100% been whether or not he's on the field. And when he's, you know, his numbers this year, the stuff was really good. It's mm-hmm. just he wasn't on the field. And
that's a shame.
The Cardinals, a few years back, you guys remember when they had guys like Sandy Alcantara and
yes.
Zach Gallen in their system that could throw more than 89 miles an hour?
Yeah.
That's not the Cardinals today. No. The Cardinals have relievers that can throw 98 miles an hour. And then they have starters who like to nibble around 90. This is different. This is a guy who has legit mid-90s stuff and could do something in the middle, you know. But he has to be healthy. And so that's a guy I would look at this year. Watch him in spring training. See if he's got a spot. My last guy, and this is the one that I'm really a fan of, and I'm going to reference Duke on here. Owen Casey. I don't know how many, and Duke, you can tell me, how many on Prospect Savant, how many guys have a 99 PFP score?
Well, depends on
the qualifier, but he's pretty high up. It's not something I've seen very often on that website. And by the way, if you aren't using Prospect Savant,
it's a good site. Yeah.
Very good site to use. It is.
That's Duke's site. It's good stuff.
Right now, it's AAA and whatever A-ball leagues they're willing to give out public information on. But
yeah.
Once you get, you know, as we start to have more of that information public, it's a really good way to kind of have that stuff collaborated right there for you. And I swear every time I go on there, Duke's got a new angle that he's looking at that really allows me to study into a player. You know, pitch release, pitch locate, you know, where the pitch lands, you know, that if you got a guy who has a consistent release and every single pitch lands in a certain spot, that's going to be a guy that's pretty easy to dial up for because he's always in the same spot. But Casey is a guy, he's just spent his second full season in AAA. Well, except for the moments he got called up to the Cubs to sit and look at the bench.
Yeah.
And observe the vines growing on Wrigley Field wall, but that's about all he got accomplished in his time in the big leagues. What I really was impressed by this last year, his chase rates dropped by more than 10%. That's huge for a player that's a big, burly, power-hitting guy. Don't think you're ever going to see him hit 300, but you know, this is a guy who probably projected more as like a 230, 240 guy with good on base and lots of power. If he can reduce that chase rate, you might be more in the 260-ish to 270-ish range, and that suddenly makes him a very different player in fantasy.
It does.
But one thing to consider, if he does make the Cubs, he is a lefty in Wrigley. And take a look at Kyle Tucker's home road splits this year. Lefties in Wrigley do not do well. It has always been a thing. The best hitters you can think of that have ever played in Wrigley Field have always been right-handed hitters.
Fonso Soriano.
That is something to consider, but there are other parks in that division that are really good for left-handers, so he could potentially put up some really nice numbers on the road, but it'd kind of be your reverse Colorado Rockies thing where you're kind of picking a time when you know he's going to be playing and he's not going to be at home. But Owen Casey, that's a guy that I am really, really interested to see if he gets a legit shot. The Cubs are, they've already gotten rid of Imanaga. They've gotten rid of the salary of Kittredge. There's some discussion that they're going to go after relievers, and that might be about as much as they're really heavily into the free agent market this year.
Yeah. Well, with the bending lockout, it's going to be really interesting to see how
it does not sound like they're incredibly interested in bringing back Tucker, which is
they trade
what they gave up for him. That's just kind of stupid. But that's the Astros are really happy that they made that trade because
was Anderson Brito in that trade?
So nice. You got two guys that are legit lineup guys right now, and Wisniewski is a nice kind of versatile guy to have in your bullpen. That's
when he's healthy.
That's a huge trade for 1 year of a guy.
I love Anderson Brito, by the way. I just want to say that. I love him. Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was talking this weekend with Sarah Sanchez, friend of the pod.
Yeah, I know her.
And we were talking about the Cubs, and the Cubs front office has set their contracts up to a lot of their players expire in 26 going into 27. And so, it's crazy when she started talking about all the different things that they're lining up. Like, you know that there's a lockout coming, but these guys have been thinking about this for years.
Yes!
I hate the fact that they're preparing for it like it's going to happen.
Of course they are!
Instead of working towards making it not happen.
It's collusion.
Yeah,
but it's not collusion. It's a bunch of crap.
I know.
We all want to play pretend, and like, you know, the whole thing in the offseason with the NFL, it was exposed how they rigged contracts. Like, watch Pablo Torre finds out. You know the truth if you watch that show.
The only guy under contract right now beyond 26 for the Cubs is Dansby Swanson.
Yep.
The only guy.
Major league guy?
Major league guy. They have guys who are arbitration eligible and whatnot still, but
and they only signed him before we were thinking about this.
Yes.
That's the only reason his contract goes that far. So gross.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah. So,
who's happy now?
Aren't we excited?
This is a pro baseball conference, guys. You're buzz-killing everyone. I'm buzz-killing.
Let's end it on a positive note, shall we?
Go Mariners.
Go Mariners.
Tell us about when you fell in love with your wife.
Oh, my gosh. I would be here all day. it happened at a bar, actually. So,
of course it did.
And I need to go
on a stool that had your name.
But I don't think we did this before, but I want to, on behalf of all of us, I want to shout out Ray Murphy and Brent Hershey and everybody at Baseball HQ. This is a great event. They are very cool, very kind, and I think they keep everything running smoothly, and that's why it's so successful, because of Ray and Brent. And also, must shout out
JP!
JP!
best production man in the business.
Hey.
JP is awesome. He handles, he's an engineer that handles all the sound and audio. Thank you so much, sir.
And he actually likes our show.
For real.
So how about that?
Whoa.
He's a fan of the show.
Ooh.
Yeah,
there you
yeah
go.
See? He said that.
Wait,
yeah,
that's
see
the guy?
Yeah, oh, that's the guy.
Hey. Everyone needs yes one.
I knew we pulled the wool over somebody's eyes. Yeah.
Everyone yes needs one.
Hey, if you're listening at home, if you're watching on the YouTube feed and you are not here, this is my annual pitch that this is, if you play fantasy baseball, you have to be here. The accessibility, the openness, the way that people come together, it's about laughing, it's about fun. Yeah. You really find a community of people that you can relate to. And, you know, fantasy baseball is so different than fantasy football. Everybody and their mother plays fantasy football and wants to look at your roster and talk about things.
My dog.
You talk about fantasy baseball to somebody and they will look at you like you've got leprosy. They're like, oh my God, that's way too... These are your people because yes everybody here yep wants to look at your roster, wants
right
to talk about
right
construction. Come here. Brent and the whole team at Baseball HQ, Ray Murphy, they have really created a space that this is no lie that Britton's telling you. Get your butt down here. Best time ever if this is your hobby.
That's right.
Anybody disagree? Yeah. Does anybody?
No, they're
all
here.
1,000 people
all
in the audience
the
are
here,
losing
so
their
all
minds.
Yes, thank you everyone that showed up today. We really
yeah, like,
appreciate
it. We all
that
made
thank
the effort
you
to come
very
here.
Much.
So
thank you.
You can add to your sticker. Soon you'll get the Yellow Club. I joined the Yellow Club this year, 5 years. Even at this conference, we still have to have status symbols. It's important because without them, we are truly lost.
Yeah, I'm only green, so.
I'm just kidding. In the end, I love doing the show. Thanks for being everybody. This is Britton Allen. He's awesome.
You get beamed down.
Big Gentle Ben, Benjamin Chase, Sam Worshing. I'm Michael Govier. Don't forget, tonight at 9 o'clock, it is the Fantasy Family Feud hosted by Sam Worshing, presented by Palazzo, this show. So if you enjoyed this, we'll have even more fun when we play the feud, which you get to participate in.
I got a question. Do you guys want to do a sampler, a teaser, fantasy feud question that you guys get to answer in the audience?
Yes.
Okay.
They said yes.
So we need to listen with our ears because this is we're putting it together a specific way. According to FanGraphs Player Rater, these players had an ADP 100 or lower and returned negative value in the second half. So who did you draft ADP 100 or lower in the preseason and in the second half? They had a negative player rater. Raise your hand if you've got a guess. We're not going to buzz in. Who was terrible in the first half that was good?
Michael
you
Harris.
You had one of them on your team. Michael Harris was not on that list. X.
Oh, I've been X'd out.
Andy's got one. Hit it.
Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres was not on there.
Yes, sir.
Ding, 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 ding. O'Neal Cruz. Number 5 on the list. He returned negative $2 value. Do you want a player pass? Okay.
Always pass in the feud. That's yeah right.
Come on, guys.
Game
I need
strategy.
Dylan Cease was not on there. He produced positive value. So this guy. Who? Tatis? No.
I can't speak. O'Neal Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all been there.
No. No. They're all offensive players, as a matter of fact. So we have Anthony Santander, who returned negative $16. Next up was a third baseman we talked about with the Braves. Austin Riley, negative -$12.67.
Wow.
A catcher in Baltimore, Adley Rutschman, negative $7 in value. And coming in fourth, I hate to say this, but you know who was drafted in the top 100 that was terrible in the second half. Yeah, Yordan Alvarez, negative $4.50.
Did he even have a second half?
So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, everybody. Good sports, you all.
Thank you.
5 o'clock on the dot. Look at that. Nailed it.
Hey, hockey fans.
Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.